तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनःभीष्टं स्थापितं येना भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितां कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेशोऽपिकान्त राधाकान्त तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी विशोभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवशादि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे। मुखं करति वाचालं पंगुं लंघायति गिरिं यत्कृपा तमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दिनतारिणम् परमानंद माधव श्री चैतन्य। From Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, Text 42. The chapter entitled The Activities of the Prachetas. Please repeat after me. Namaha Samaya Shuddhaya Purushaya Parayacha वासुदेवाय सत्ताय तुभ्यं भगवते नमः। नमः समाय शुद्धाय पुरुषाय पराय च वासुदेवाय सत्ताय तुभ्यं भगवते नमः। नमः समाय शुद्धाय पुरुषाय पराय च वासुदेवाय सत्ताय तुभ्यं भगवते नमः। नमः समाय शुद्धाय पुरुषाय पराय च वासुदेवाय सत्ताय तुभ्यं भगवते नमः। प्लीज
मताजी।
नमः समाय शुद्धाय What meaning? Namaha. We offer our respectful obeisances. Samaya, who is equal to everyone. Shuddhaya, who is never contaminated by sinful activities. Purushaya, unto the Supreme Person. Paraya, transcendental. Cha, also. Vasudevaya, living every higher. Sattaya, who is in the transcendental position. Tubham, unto you. Bhagavate, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Namaha, obeisances. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. Dear Lord, you have no enemies or friends. Therefore, you are equal to everyone. You cannot be contaminated by sinful activities, and your transcendental form is always beyond the material creation. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because within all existence, you are consequently known as Vasudeva. We offer you our respectful obeisances. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Vasudeva because He lives everywhere. The word Vash means to live. As stated in Brahma Samhita, Ekopyasau Rachayitum Jagadandakotim, the Lord, through His plenary portion, enters into each and every universe to create the material manifestation. He also enters into each and every heart in all living entities and into each and every atom also. Paramanu chayantarastham. Because the Supreme Lord lives everywhere, He is known as Vasudev. Although He lives everywhere within the material world, He is not contaminated by the modes of nature. The Lord is therefore described in Ishopanishad as apapabiddham. He is never contaminated by the modes of material nature. When the Lord descends on this planet, He acts in many ways. He kills demons and performs acts not sanctioned by the Vedic principles, that is, acts considered sinful. Even though He acts in such a way, He is never contaminated by His action. He is therefore described herein as Shuddha, meaning always free from contamination. The Lord is also Shama, equal to everyone. In this regard, He states in Bhagavad Gita, Shamaham sarvabhuteshu nome deshasti na priyaha. The Lord has no one as His friend or enemy, and He is equal to everyone. The word Sattaya indicates that the form of the Lord is not material. It is Satchidananda Vigraha, Isharaha Paramakrishna Satchidananda Vigraha. His body is different from our material bodies. One should not think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has a material body like ours. नमोम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिस्वरूप दामोदर स्वामिनीति नामिने नमस्सद्भक्तमुने मुनिपुरोद्भवाय च प्रभुपादवशद्वाणी प्रचर निरतायते हरे कृष्ण. सो टुडे इज बेंगली न्यू ईयर. I like to offer my humble obeisances to all the Vaishnavas. Please bless me so that I can become a real devotee of Lord Krishna and I can become humble. This is my prayer to all of you. A few days back, our Ganagamma Prabhu gave a very nice class and he pointed out that for us becoming advanced is not so important, but becoming humble is more important. I like that point very much. Becoming humble is equivalent to becoming advanced. And a truly advanced devotee, he doesn't feel that he is advanced. That is humility. So please bless me so that I can develop that genuine humility. So this is a prayer. Today's verse is a prayer by the Prachetas to Lord Vishnu. So in this prayer, Prachetas, they are mentioning some qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Namaha Shamaya Shuddhaya Purushaya Paraya Cha Vasudevaya Sattaya Tubhang Bhagavate Namaha. Namaha Shamaya, Supreme Personality of Godhead, is equal to everyone. Although sometimes it appears that he is partial, sometimes people blame him that God is partial. In general, he is not partial. He is equal to everyone. This is the general formula. God is equal to everyone. Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan has given the example of rainwater. Rainwater is equal to all the plants and seeds. There are so many poisonous trees, trees with fragrant flowers and trees without flower or flower without fragrance. So there are different kinds of trees and different kinds of seeds. But rainwater, the rain doesn't consider that, oh, this is poisonous tree or this seed will produce poisonous trees, so I'll not rain here. It rains everywhere without discrimination. The poisonous tree, the poisonous seed also gets rainwater, and the good trees also get rainwater. But still, poisonous tree, the poisonous seed produces poisonous fruits. Similarly, different living entities, according to their karma and desire, they are producing different kinds of bodies. There are 84 lakhs of varieties, human beings, trees, birds, beasts, even demigods. So these different bodies are produced from the seed of our desire and karma. According to our karma and according to our desire, we are acquiring different bodies. And God is fulfilling our desire and He is giving the result of our karma without any partiality. Just like a teacher. Teachers, say for example, teacher of mathematics. So in some exam, students are writing different kinds of answers. But the teacher is also giving different kinds of marks. Somebody is getting 10 out of 100, somebody is getting 50 out of 100, somebody is securing 90% or even 100 out of 100. So sometimes immature students, they blame the teacher. Oh, he is partial. This teacher is partial. Maybe this student is studying, maybe his private tutor. This student is his private student, that's why he is giving little more marks. So sometimes you hear complaints, blaming the teachers that he is partial. Sometimes it is true in material world, but in case of God, he is completely impartial. We are getting the results of our own karma. As you sow, so shall you reap. So whatever we are showing as our karma and also desire, both should be combined. Desire itself is not enough, and it is also a fact that our desire influences our karma. The most sincere desire is reflected in our karma. Our karma means this is the culmination of our desire. Because sometimes we may desire to be king, but we may behave in a very, another way, like an animal. So only desiring, simply by desiring that I will become a king, is not enough. Desire plus karma. That is called, as you desire. So deserving means the karma we are performing. That is the real reflection of our true desire. What we actually desire is manifesting through our karma. So, according to our karma, the God is fulfilling. Just like sunshine. Sunshine is equal. Prabhupada gave the example of shopkeeper. A shopkeeper, if you go and say, okay, give me some rice, then the shopkeeper asks, okay, how much money you want to pay? What quality rice you want? Okay, with 22 rupees per kilo. So he'll give one kind of rice. Another customer will ask, okay, give me 30 rupees per kilo. So he'll give another kind of rice. Okay, give me basmati with 55 rupees per kilo or 100 rupees per kilo. So, we will give another kind of rice. According to the payment. So, our payment is our karma and desire. This is our payment. And according to our payment, God has created two types of result. Pious and impious. Illusory suffering and illusory happiness. Both are illusory in this material world. According to our karma and desire, God gives us two types of result, and both are actually illusory. Illusory happiness and illusory distress, illusory suffering. Although it is illusory, but the impact, the influence is real. That is not illusory. When I suffer illusory pain, the suffering is real. Although it is illusory, but I feel as real. So in that sense, it is real also. In this material world, both suffering and happiness, both are illusory, but the feeling is not illusory. I feel it is real. So in this way, God is distributing the result of karma. That's why He created this illusory world. In this sense, is equal to everyone. But this is his mechanical portion. His energies are acting as mechanical energies. That is meant for the non-devotees, those who are not devotees. The non-devotees, whatever karma they do, they must get the reaction. Completely mechanical, stringent, strict law of nature. If I touch fire, I'll burn my hand. So the law of karma is like this. It is equal to everyone. But we know that Prahlad Maharaj, he was sitting in fire, but he was feeling very cooling effect. So the law of nature is not working on him. So that means there is also some non-mechanistic realm that is reserved for his devotees. The devotees, for devotees he becomes partial. For devotees, partiality is there. God is impartially partial. He is impartially partial to his devotees. So, although God is equal, still he is partial. Just like the example of shopkeeper. The shopkeeper is not partial, although he is giving different kinds of rice to different kinds of people, different kinds of customer. But it's like commercial relation. But when his son or wife comes to take rice from the same shop, he gives free. So there is different law. Jasta Indra Gopam Athavendra Mahasakarma Bandhanurupa Falabhajanam Atunoti Karmani Nirtahuti Kintu Chabhakti Bhajam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Jasta Indra Gopam. There is an insect, red insect called Indra Gopa. And there is also demigod, the king of demigod, Indra. So both of them, I mean from the down to the highest, there is a great range of different kinds of living entities. All of them are enjoying or suffering the result of their own karma. Jasto Indra Gopa Mathavendram. Oho! Oh! They are all suffering their karma. Jasta Indra Gopam Athavendra Mahosha Karma Bandhanurupa Phala Bhajanam Atunoti. They are enjoying or suffering their karma. That rule is very strict. Nobody can avoid. Even a child touches fire, he will burn his hand. The fire will not consider, oh, this is a child, he doesn't understand. So this law of nature, law of karma is also law of nature. God's energy is working to make this law of karma successful. So law, God's energy, mechanical energy is working. So from Indragopa, the insect, red insect Indragopa, up to the king of heaven, Indra, they are all suffering or enjoying the result of their own karma. Jasta Indragopa Mathavendra Mahasa Karma Bandhanarupa Phala Vajanam Atunoti. Karmani nirdahati kintu. Kintu. But he is burning the karma of those who are his devotee, sincere devotees. Cha bhakti bhajam. Those who are serving God with sincerity. God can neutralize, God can relieve him from the reactions of his karma, both pious and impious. God can make him free. Because both pious and impious, karma gives only illusory result. So God makes him free from illusory results of illusory happiness and illusory distress. In this way, the devotee is not affected. Of course, it depends on the degree of our devotion. When someone becomes 100% pure devotee, then he is 100% free from the law of karma. But as long as we are mixed, we have mixed devotion, we are not completely free. But God is open. He is open. You become pure devotee, I'll nullify the reactions of your karma, both pious and impious. And sometimes God can also show partiality. Partiality is possible. Just out of love. The law of love is not mechanical. law of karma is mechanical, but law of love is not mechanical. God can do anything, whatever he likes, out of love. So that is his partiality. And somebody may criticize his partiality, but our acharyas, they have commented that his partiality to his devotee is an ornament, is an ornament. Because devotee means they are pure person. And for pure person, God can do anything. He can even break up, he can minimize the reactions, he can break up the law of karma. Still, he is equal, simultaneously, because the gate is open to all. The gate to become devotee, the gate to become his lover is open to all. In Mahabharata there is a nice story of Arjuna and Duryodhana before the battle of Kurukshetra. All of you know that story. Before the battle of Kurukshetra, both of them went to Dwaraka to meet Krishna for getting some help. So Duryodhana also knew that Krishna is generous, magnanimous, and if I ask help, he will give me help. So at that time Krishna was posing himself like sleeping. So then Duryodhana and Arjuna, they entered into the sleeping room, and Duryodhana thought, this is the general common etiquette, that if I see you first, I'll speak with you first. So Duryodhana thought, if Krishna sees me first, then he will talk to me first. So he was sitting near the pillow, just in front of Krishna's face, so that when he'll open his eyes, he'll see me. And Arjuna, as a humble devotee, he was sitting at the lotus feet of Krishna. And Krishna knows everything. He was sleeping in Jaganidra. So he just sat down, closing his eyes and opened his eyes, and he saw Arjuna first. So Duryodhana jumped. He came in front of Krishna. He said, I came first. So then Krishna told, you might have come first, but I have seen Arjuna first. And Arjuna is younger, and it is the time of danger because the battle of Kurukshetra is approaching. Very soon the battle will be started. So at the time of danger, we must listen to the younger first. You are elder brother, and Arjuna is younger brother, so I should listen to him first because it's time of danger, war. And also he is younger in age, and also I saw him first. So 3 points. So I should speak to him first. So Duryodhana became little disturbed. Maybe he will take the advantage, maximum benefit. So then Krishna told, my dear Arjuna, see, you are my relative. And also Duryodhana is my relative. So I cannot neglect anyone. So that's why I have decided that I'll divide my strength into 2 parts. I have one Akshohini. As far as I remember, one Akshohini means 65 lakhs soldiers with elephant and horses, chariots, everything. So I have one Akshohini soldiers in one side, this is my soldier. And another side, I myself, I'll not fight. I cannot fight. But I can drive a chariot. So, if you want, you can take either of the side. Either you can take my one Akshohini soldier, or you can take me. But be thoughtful, because my one Akshohini soldiers, they will fight with chariot, horses, elephants, weapons. They will fight. And I'll not even touch weapon. I'll not touch weapon, I'll not fight. I'll only drive chariot. So now you decide. Which side you like to take? You like to take my soldiers or myself? So Duryodhana was more worried. Oh, now Arjuna will take the soldiers. He was much worried. Although he was not praying to God because he didn't have much faith in God. But he was worried. Oh, he should not ask these soldiers. So for Arjuna, it did not take a second to decide. Arjuna told, no, I don't need your soldiers. Krishna told, you think deeply, I will not fight. I will not fight. I will not touch weapon. And my soldiers, one Akshahini, 65 lakh soldiers with all weapons and chariot and everything. You think. No need to think. I just want you. You be with me. I don't need your, why 65 lakhs? I don't need your, unlimited soldiers. I need you. So then Duryodhana was thinking, this is called fool number one. Duryodhana was thinking, such a great fool rascal, doesn't have brain. Okay, so then Krishna smiled at Duryodhana. So, what do you want? He already chosen. Oh, he has chosen rightly. I want the soldiers. Whatever Arjuna has chosen, okay, let him be satisfied. But I want your soldier. Material calculation. So in this way, God can satisfy the demons and devotees. Demons are satisfied, animals are satisfied, insects in the septic tank eating stool are satisfied. They are satisfied, enjoying stool. And the devotees are also satisfied. But who will judge? What is real satisfaction, higher satisfaction? Only the higher can judge the lower, but lower can never judge the higher. But anyway, so the gate is open to everyone to become pure devotee. Somebody is accepting it, somebody is not accepting. University is open for all. From a thief, rickshaw puller or laborers, anyone can enter into university, can get admission. University will never ask you, are you a son of laborer or are you a son of a thief? University will never ask you. It is open to everyone. But still, according to the quality, according to the desire, according to karma, people are getting chance in different ways, different life, they are getting chance. But Krishna is equal. He opened the gate of love for everyone. And those who are not his lover, Krishna is tolerant. Those who are not his lover, Krishna is like desire tree. Whatever you desire a stool, you take stool. Whatever you desire, I will sanction. But for devotees, sometimes he stops. Ami biggo ei murkhe bishoy keno dibo. Even devotees sometimes ask for material profit, material benefit. Sometimes Krishna obstructs. So for a devotee, sometimes for non-devotee, he is like desire tree. Whatever you ask, I'll give. That doesn't mean that he doesn't keep attention. He knows his time is not matured. Even if I stop him, he'll not listen to me. So it is better that I give him whatever he asks, let him enjoy or suffer, than slowly, slowly, after millions and trillions of years, his heart will be filtered. Then there will be mature time, I can instruct him better. He will be ready to receive my instruction. But if I instruct him now, it will be a failure. So that's why for majority of the living entities within this material world, Krishna fulfills all their desires. But for devotees, he adjusts, he considers. He can manipulate, he can intervene for devotees. And for non-devotees also he is helping, because he is all the time sitting within, just next to us as Paramatma. He is observing our mood, he is observing our desire. And there also he is keeping constant attention, so that slowly, slowly, today or tomorrow, this soul will be uplifted. It is not that he is neglecting those who are non-devotees. He is not neglecting anyone. But according to our own status, he's reciprocating, je jathamang prapaddante tang stathiva bhajamaham. But ultimately he is equal. Even though he shows partiality to his devotees, that partiality is also open to all. the non-devotees, when they will become devotee, they will also get that, they will also enjoy that partiality. So God is equal to everyone. So this is one of the wonderful quality of Lord Krishna. It is one of the wonderful quality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is equal to everyone. It is due to us that we suffer, we become loser. It is our fault, not God's fault. Then next, Shuddhaya. God is always pure. In English there is a common proverb, God is all good. God is always good and He is always pure. Apparently, sometimes people criticize, even today people criticize, oh Krishna, he enjoyed the association of others' wife, he danced Rasa dance with others' wife. So many criticism. Even great poet, they write poetry against Krishna. There is one famous book, even it is a textbook in university and colleges, Meghnad Bodh, who criticized Ramchandra and glorified Ravana. There are many people, they glorify Ravana. They think Ravana is right. Or Ravana's son, Meghnad, is right and Ramchandra is wrong. They have that audacity to criticize Lord and glorify the demons. But that is just misunderstanding. That is just misunderstanding. God is always pure. Even apparently it may seem that He is doing something wrong. It's apparent. Prabhupada gave the example of a diabetic patient. So doctor told that if you take sweet ball, it is a crime. If you take sweet ball, it is a crime for you because your sugar is so high. The percentage of your sugar in blood is very high. So you should not take sweet ball, or you should not eat any sweet preparations. If you take any sweet ball, it is a crime. It is a crime for you. So another healthy man, he is eating sweet. Is it crime for him? A healthy man eating sweet ball is not crime. But a diabetic patient, if he is eating sweet ball, it is a crime. So the word crime is a relative term. It's a relative term. The husband of the gopis, who are the husbands? The husbands of gopis, they are actually Krishna's external energy. Krishna's energy. So when the husband of the gopis are touching gopis, Krishna is touching gopis, because the husband of the gopis are actually Krishna's energy, Krishna's extension. So Krishna's extension is touching His energies. So practically speaking, Krishna is the only husband. So that's why there is no distinction for Krishna that this gopi has this husband and I am separate. It's not like that. For Krishna, everything belongs to Him. So for Him, we cannot judge from our viewpoint, our relative standpoint, we cannot judge Krishna. Because Krishna's standpoint is different. Everything is Krishna's energy. Even the husband of Krishna is Krishna's energy. So there is no distinction. For us, there is distinction. So that's why we cannot judge Krishna's activities from our viewpoint. Although it is difficult to understand, as we are habituated in relative world, it is difficult to judge or understand the absolute, the nature of the absolute truth. So that's why we criticize from our relative standpoint. We think, oh, this is bad. Same action, sometimes bad, sometimes good. A man is touching other's wife, is bad. But mother is kissing her son, is not bad, not bad. The same kissing is bad sometimes. So, the action may be the same, but the viewpoint, standpoint, the relative position may be different. So we have to understand God's position. And if we don't understand, then we will misunderstand God. So that's why those who are immature, with demoniac mentality, they criticize God for many wrong actions. But God cannot do wrong. For God, by nature, God is good. He cannot do any wrong. Whatever He does is good. It is for the pleasure of His devotees. And it is only good. It doesn't create any bad side effects. What to speak of God, even those who are very powerful, empowered demigods, they are also sometimes can do some action which is from human standpoint, from human angle of vision, this is wrong. There is a very nice description of Nityananda Prabhu in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Nityananda Prabhu, when he was preaching in Bengal, sometimes he was using ornaments, very costly ornaments. Sometimes he was eating in the house of Shudra, low-born people. He was mixing with them, eating in their house. He was violating so many Vedic principles. So one Brahmin, who was studying with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a student, so that Brahmin was studying with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu together. So he was observing Nityananda Prabhu, this person is violating so many Vedic principles. So once he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri, and in a humble attitude he asked, "My dear Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, my dear Mahaprabhu, if you don't mind, I have a humble question. That I have seen in Bengal, Nityananda Prabhu is preaching, but he is violating so many Vedic principles. So how is it? I have full respect for you, but if Nityananda Prabhu is doing like that, how people will respect?" So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu narrated him a story that once Lord Brahma, he got attracted to his daughter. And he had 6 grandsons, the children of Marichi, 6 grandsons of Lord Brahma. But they saw that our grandfather is attached to his daughter. So they just smiled. And immediately, because of that offense, they smiled at Brahma. They took birth as son of Hiranyakashipu. And Indra killed them with thunderbolt. 6 children of Hiranyakashipu were killed by Indra. He used his thunderbolt to kill them. What was their fault? No, because they smiled at Brahma when he got attracted to his daughter. Then after that birth, they again took birth as the son of Devaki, 6 children of Devaki. And their uncle Kamsa killed them one by one. What is their fault? No, they smiled at Brahma's action. Then after that, they take birth in the lower planetary system as son of Bali Maharaj. So later on, when Krishna was studying in Gurukul, his spiritual master, his Shikshaguru, Sandipuni Muni, knew that my student is God himself. So after education, when Krishna wanted to offer him Guru Dakshina, so that Muni, Sandipuni Muni, consulted with his wife and they told that actually Krishna is God, so we should not ask some ordinary Guru Dakshina from him. So they decided that we'll ask our son who died. So then Sandipuni Muni asked Krishna, "Give back our son. Our son already died, so give back my son." So Krishna, somehow or other, he went up to the planet of Jamraj and he rescued that son and he made the original body as they knew their son. So then he presented the son to his guru. That is possible only for God. So Devaki heard that story. And Devaki told, I heard that you have given back the son of your guru. So I have lost 6 children before your birth. So give back my son. So then Krishna went to the abode of Bali Maharaj and he requested Bali Maharaj, give back my son. So Bali Maharaj was already a devotee. I mean, give back your 6 son. So then Bali Maharaj gave this son to Krishna and Krishna gave this back to Devaki. And these children, they sucked Devaki's breast milk, and because it was remnant of Lord Krishna, they got liberation. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed that Brahmin, you see, because they did these 6 children, they simply smiled at Brahma's action, and so much suffering they had to undergo. So simply by smiling to a higher personality, so much suffering, and what to speak of God? Brahma is jiva tattva, is a living entity, and what to speak of God? So nobody can judge the level, transcendental position of God, and that's why nobody should criticize or misunderstand his so-called, you know, that we should not apply our tape, the tape we use to measure our action, the same scale should not be used to measure Krishna's action. He has his own scale. Our scale should not be applied to measure Krishna's action. He is always pure. Simply by hearing those stories, Krishna's dancing with the gopis, the disease of our heart, the sex desire, can be eradicated. Simply by hearing the stories of gopis, Krishna's pastimes with gopis, simply by hearing with devotion and attention, our material desires can be eradicated. He's so pure. In Krishna book there is a narration that somebody blamed Krishna for stealing Samantaka jewel. It was a false blame because Krishna did not steal that. And if you hear that blame, that somebody is blaming Krishna, your personal blame will be eradicated. If you hear that Krishna is sick, just like sometimes Jagannath becomes sick after Snan Jatra, if you hear that, your sickness will be cured. So if you hear Krishna's lusty desires, so-called lusty desires, our lusty desires will be cured. That much is the purity. So Krishna is always pure. So there are more points, but today is also Ramanujacharya's appearance day. So I can tell few words, try to tell few words. I did not get much time to prepare for Ramanujacharya. So I can tell few words on Ramanujacharya's life. Ramanujacharya was born in South India. Practically speaking, all the Acharyas. We have 4 Sampradayas, Vaishnava Sampradayas, and all the Sampradaya Acharyas are born in South India. Even impersonalist Shankaracharya is also born in South India. So this Ramanujacharya, when he appeared at that time, the impersonalist, the follower of Shankaracharya was very much prevalent in India, also in South India. So he was born in a Brahmin family, and it is described that he is an empowered incarnation of Lakshman. Actually the word Ramanuja, Ramo means Ramchandra and Anuja means younger brother. So the word Ramanuja means the younger brother of Ramchandra, that is Lakshman, because he was empowered incarnation of Lakshman. That's why he is called Ramanuja. Also he is called Lakshman. Lakshman is nickname, is Lakshman. So after his birth, he was staying with his parents, and his parent was a good devotee, and he was studying scripture under the guidance of his father. Then he got married, and after his marriage, his father left his body, And then Ramanujacharya, he heard that there is a great scholar, Jadav Prakash, was also impersonalist, but in those days it was almost impossible to find out Vaishnava scholar. So Ramanujacharya decided that he will learn Shastra from Jadav Prakash. So he got admitted in the school of Jadav Prakash. And Jadav Prakash was a staunch follower of Shankaracharya and a very strict impersonalist. But Ramanujacharya, because his realization is coming from his previous life, so he was naturally personalist. He did not require to learn philosophy of personalism. By nature he was personalist. So one day he was serving his spiritual master. He was massaging the feet, he's oiling the body of his spiritual master. At that time, one student came with a question. There is a verse in Shruti Mantra. Tasya jatha katpasam pundarikam evam akshini. This is a Shruti Mantra. So the student came to the spiritual master. He did not understand one particular word, kaipasam. So he asked his spiritual master that what is the meaning of the word, kaipasam. I'm sure all of you have heard this narration many times. So the spiritual master, as he was an impersonalist and had no respect for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so he explained, gopi means monkey. And akshini means eyes. So Lord's eyes, Krishna's eyes, is as red as the anus of a monkey. So hearing this explanation, Ramanujacharya, who was oiling and massaging his body, he felt so unhappy, so pained. He started to cry. And a few drops of tears fell on his body and body of his spiritual master. Then spiritual master looked at him and got surprised. Why are you crying? No, because the way you explained, I cannot tolerate that. I am so much pained by your explanation. So he became very angry. The guru became very angry. He started to scold him. You are a rascal. You have no respect to your guru. You have no respect to Shankaracharya. This is the way Shankaracharya also explained this verse. If you are so expert in Shastra, okay, you explain. You explain the meaning of this verse. So then Ramanujacharya, he explained. Depending on Sanskrit dictionary, not that some speculation, depending on Sanskrit dictionary, he explained that actually it means the God's eyes, the eyes of Lord Krishna, is like lotus flower which is blossomed by sunshine. Like lotus flower. So then, because the explanation was based on dictionary, Guru understood this explanation is correct. But at the same time, because it was a prestige fight and it is a question of sampradaya, the Guru belonged to Shankara Sampradaya, impersonalist Sampradaya. So he understood this boy is really intelligent and in future he will be our danger. He will destroy our Sampradaya. He will destroy Shankaracharya's Sampradaya. So he got the first alarm, he got the first warning. But many days this type of exchanges took place. Whenever he used to explain some verse in an impersonalistic way, immediately Ramanujacharya used to protest. No, this is not correct explanation. And slowly, slowly the Guru came to realize that this boy really, he will destroy our Sampradaya. And he did not want that. So he decided to kill Ramanujacharya. So he made a master plan to kill Ramanujacharya. So he told, okay, let us go and visit Prayag, educational excursion. So then in a group with Ramanujacharya, they were going to Prayag. He had planned that in Prayag, he we will throw him in water. This was Guru's plan. Some or other, some of his intelligent friend could understand this plan. Intimate disciple could understand that Guru wants to kill him. So then one friend, his name was Govinda, he disclosed, "Be careful, perhaps our Guru will kill you. Better you run away this night itself." So when they are sleeping, Ramanujacharya got up in the midnight and he left the company and started to run away. Then he ran and ran and ran many kilometers. A child, he doesn't know the way and road in the forest, deep forest, filled with ferocious animals. He was crossing miles after miles. Then at last he found a hunter with his wife. They are also walking. So he thought, okay, maybe if I follow this couple, I can reach some city. So he was following this couple. So then in one place the couple were taking rest and Ramanujacharya also took rest. In the midnight, the wife of that hunter, he was asking for water. She was asking for water. She was thirsty. So Ramanujacharya told, okay, I can go and bring water. But that hunter told, no, I won't allow you. Wait until the morning, because the forest is filled with ferocious animals. So they waited until the morning. The wife was bearing the thirst. And in the morning, Ramanujacharya went and he brought water from, fast water from a well, deep well. So one time he brought water, that wife of that hunter drank the whole water. Then second time he went and brought water again. Like this, three times Ramanujacharya brought water and the wife of hunter completely drank that water. And for the fourth time, when Ramanujacharya went for the fourth time to fetch water, then when he came back and he saw the hunter and his wife is not there, he was surprised. Then suddenly he found, oh, there is no more forest. I am in my birthplace, near my house. He found his house. So later on he disclosed this to one of his Shiksha Guru. And that Shiksha Guru explained, actually this hunter was Narayan and that wife was Lakshmi. They came to help you. So in this way, Ramanujacharya, he got the blessing of Lakshmi Narayan, because he had chance to serve them, to serve Lakshmi. Lakshmi means Sri. And his sampradaya, Ramanujacharya's sampradaya, is also known as Sri sampradaya. His sampradaya is worshipper of Lakshmi Narayan. In Dham Mahatma, written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there is a narration that when Jiva Goswami came to visit Mayapur, Navadvip, and Nityananda Prabhu himself was guiding him, showing him different places. And he was showing him Vaikunthapur, which is near Belpukur, not so far from here. Nityananda Prabhu explained to Jiva Goswami that Ramanujacharya also came in Mayapur, in Navadvip, and he visited this Vaikunthapur. Actually, Ramanujacharya first, he went to Jagannath Puri and Lord Jagannath appeared in front of him directly and told, "My dear devotee, please visit Mayapur, Navadvip." So at that time, Ramanujacharya doesn't know what is Navadvip, where is Mayapur, where is Navadvip. So he asked Jagannath, "I don't know that place, and what is the speciality of that place?" So then Jagannath explained, "Very soon Lord Gauranga will appear there. Very special incarnation, most magnanimous incarnation, who will distribute the love of God and who will be a combined incarnation of Radha and Krishna together. And he'll distribute up to the level of Madhurya Rasa, conjugal love. You are distributing only servitude, dasya rasa, relationship of servant and master. God is my master and the devotees are like servant. That is Dasharas you are distributing. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will distribute above that. Above Dasha is Sakha, above Sakha is Vatsalya, above Vatsalya is Madhurja. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will distribute up to the topmost mellow of devotional life. So you please visit that. Then immediately Ramanujacharya asked, my dear Lord, can I disclose this? Can I disclose this information to the public? And Jagannath told, no, it is not the mature time. You are entitled to distribute only love of servitude, dasharas. You are not entitled to distribute conjugal love. And you don't disclose the incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is very, very confidential. You just go and visit that place. And then Ramanujacharya came and he visited that Vaikuntha Puri. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the form of Gauranga in front of Ramanujacharya. So Ramanujacharya got the very fortunate darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then Ramanujacharya requested Mahaprabhu that I want to join your pastime. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu granted, okay, in my pastime you will appear, you will stay in Navadvip and your name will be Ananta. I don't know much about Ananta. So Ramanujacharya became Ananta, a devotee in Navadvip. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got married with the daughter of Vallabhacharya, Lakshmipriya, Ananta was present in that meeting, in that marriage. So that was Ramanujacharya. He was preaching Vishishta Advaita Vad. The balance is towards Advaita, non-dualism, but he accepted dualism also. It is very difficult, my brain cannot grasp it. But as far as I realized, that the balance is still the non-dualism, but he accepted dualism. Later on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually gave us the more clear understanding of God, Achintya Bhedavetattva. But Ramanujacharya started his Vishishta Advaita philosophy. That is, after impersonalism, only from Ramanujacharya's philosophy, the devotional philosophy, that God is our master and we are his servant. This was Ramanujacharya's philosophy, and his deity was Lakshmi Narayan. Those who are follower of Ramanujacharya, they worship Lakshmi Narayan. Srila Prabhupada told, even we, those who are Gauriya Vaishnava, we also, as long as we are not completely pure, whenever you worship Radha Krishna, it doesn't reach up to Radha Krishna, it reaches up to Lakshmi Narayan. So anyway, he is connected as four bona fide sampradaya. His Sri Sampradaya, established by Ramanujacharya, is also one of the bona fide sampradaya. And today is his appearance day. So may Ramanujacharya, the empowered incarnation of Lakshman, bless us. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If you have any comment or question or correction. Thank you very much. Grantharasmad Bhagavatam ki Samavata Vaishnav Bhakta Vrinda ki Nidai Gaur Pramanande.